Two scripture readings today. And the first is a psalm. And sometimes psalms, as you read them, they're linear. They have a theme and they carry through all the way. Maybe it's a theme of praise. Maybe it's a theme of thanksgiving or of Psalm 119, always focusing on God's law and work. But some psalms kind of meander and move in different directions. This is one of those psalms. It starts out with praise and thanksgiving, and then it makes a turn to lament in terms of, oh Lord, this is my life, and hardship has fallen upon me. And then the very last line of the psalm turns toward hope, and it turns toward a trust that God will be present. So feel that in this psalm as I share it this morning. Verses 1 through 12. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great powers, your enemies cringe before us. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you and sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. Lord is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land, and they passed through the river on foot. And there we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has kept us among the living. He has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. And you have laid burdens on our back. You let people ride over our heads, and we went through fire and through water. And then the last line, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. Second scripture is an Old Testament reading. I don't know how often you wade into the book of Jeremiah, but we do so today. And I want to give you a sense that what we're doing here is reading somebody else's mail. This is a letter that Jeremiah wrote to a specific audience. So we are, in a sense, steaming the envelope, opening it up, and reading somebody else's mail. Verses 1 and then 4 through 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And here is that letter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there. And do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare, and you will find welfare there as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we gather today, give us a sense that Scripture's story is our story. that sometimes we too feel like we are in foreign lands. So give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to embrace that message that you give to us and that you have given your people through the ages, that you are present. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to begin by asking a strange question, and that is, do you know any strange people? From your perspective, do you know any strange people? And if they are in this room, please do not stand up and point. Simply hold the answer to that in your mind and identify them kind of in quiet. What makes someone strange from your perspective? Perhaps they do crazy things. Perhaps they have unorthodox habits. Maybe they say bizarre things. Maybe they wear unconventional clothes. Perhaps they have an unusual job. I had to chuckle that Cynthia and I went back to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is where I graduated from high school, for my 20th class reunion. And when they have events like that, they at least at ours, they had kind of a quiz. They had sheets up over the wall. Who came from the farthest way away? You know, who lost the most hair? Who has the most kids? And there was one category of who has the strangest job. And I didn't fit into a lot of the other categories, but I thought, I don't think of being a pastor as a strange job, but I put my name and my occupation down. And lo and behold, when they started handing out winners, that this class that I graduated with of over 600, that I won for the strangest job. I'm not sure if that said something about me or something about our society, but on that day, in that class reunion, I was strange. So do you have strange people in your life? Do you have any in your family? Let me carry this question over to Scripture. Are there any people in Scripture that you would categorize as strange? I'm sure we could probably draw up quite a list in no time if we put our minds to it. But I want to propose that the one person who would most certainly be a shoe-in on our list would have to be the Old Testament prophet of Jeremiah. Of course, most of God's prophets almost always seem to live outside the box. They always seem to operate from a different zip code than the rest of the world. And that was certainly true for Jeremiah. A couple of examples. On one occasion, Jeremiah took a clay jar, and in front of the congregation, can you imagine Dick doing this some morning? He went into the front of the people and he threw it down on the ground and it shattered and pieces were going all over the place. It was his way of somehow demonstrating what God would do to the people because of their unfaithfulness. Pretty bold statement. One time, to again register God's displeasure with the people, Jeremiah walked around town with his head in a yoke as a way of saying that this is how God would lay a weight of oppression on the people because they had not followed. And another prophet of God came along and took the wooden yoke off his neck and destroyed it. So you know what Jeremiah did? He went out and he got an iron yoke and he walked around town with that on his neck for a while. Kind of a strange guy. At another yet more hopeful time in Jeremiah's ministry, he went out and he bought a parcel of land that had just been conquered by their oppressors. Babylon had come in and ravished the land. What did Jeremiah do? He went out and he laid down good money for the deed of a piece of this property. We come from kind of up north. I don't know. We have an expression that if you hear something you can't quite believe, we might say, well, if you believe that, then I've got a piece of property in Florida to sell you. Jeremiah's real estate purchase seemed as ridiculous as buying a piece of the Everglades, so to speak. So if you look through the book of Jeremiah and some of his escapades, you easily come to the conclusion that here was a very, very, very strange person, very strange servant of God. And from one perspective, today's passage might also fall into that category. The historical context, if you haven't quite picked it up, was that the people of Israel in about 600 BC had recently been conquered by the Babylonians. And given the wisdom of the expression conquer and divide, Nebuchadnezzar came into that country and he took the most learned, the most skilled, and the most elite of that society, and he exiled them. He scattered them amongst his own people in Babylon. In a sense, he was kind of pulling the teeth of that society so that they couldn't mount a counter-attack or counter-revolution. And it's to this exiled, deported, dispersed, banished group who are now living among their oppressors that Jeremiah writes this letter that is our scripture lesson today. And in one sense, it sounds like a strange message that he writes to this deported group. One might have assumed that the prophet would have said, in your captivity, do not go quietly into the night. Rise up. Fight back. Rebel. Stir up the pot. Cause problems for the people. Be a pain in the backside of this people who have taken over our country and have done this horrible thing to us. That's the message one might have expected Jeremiah to have conveyed, but he didn't. He proposed just the opposite. To put it simply, he said, live firmly, live fully, and live faithfully. He said, live firmly, or be grounded and take ownership with where you are. Be at peace where you live, even if it's not quite the ideal. Don't rebel, don't look back. Don't look forward. Come to grips with where you are right in this moment and be at peace with that place. That's what he meant when he said build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. In a sense, he said, live firmly where you are. Unpack your suitcase and be at peace with the circumstances you find yourself in. And Jeremiah seemed to say also, live fully. He said, don't cocoon yourself. Don't crawl into a hole. Don't try and escape from the world. Live fully. And that's what he meant when he talked about taking wives and sons and daughters and take wives for your children. said, have kids. Don't decrease. Jeremiah didn't want the people to withdraw and retreat. Wanted them to live fully where they were in their circumstances. And Jeremiah seemed to be saying, live faithfully. Don't hide your faith. Don't stick it under a bushel. Live your faith by seeking the well-being of the city where you live and pray for the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare as your welfare. In many ways, that was kind of a strange message for the people to hear. It was also a way of Jeremiah saying to the people that God had not forgotten them, but that in God's own time, God would act in redemptive ways. But for the time being, live firmly, live fully, and live faithfully. Now let me apply that to a couple life situations. Let me apply it to young people. I see some of them in the back pew back there. Newsflash, I was a young person once. I know that's kind of hard to believe. But as best as I can remember, I couldn't wait to grow up and be somewhere else and be someone else. I wanted to run down the road of life as quickly as I could and escape my teen years. Well, if that has some universal experience to it, Jeremiah makes sense. He says, live firmly. Live where you are. Be at peace with the age you are. Be at peace with who you are. Be comfortable in your own skin, so to speak. Own the challenges and the opportunities that are before you. And he says, live fully. Heavens knows there were times when I wanted to crawl into a hole for 5 or 10 years and at some point emerge an adult and not having to go through some of those trials. I think Jeremiah says to even young people, live fully. Discover your gifts. Share your gifts. Make the most out of the now. And he says, live faithfully. Sometimes we have an expression in the church. We say, well, the youth are the future of the church. Baloney. They are the church right now. And they have a rightful and important place to live their faith alongside any adult. And you must have a sense of that. Because even as a size of church you are, you have brought somebody on to work with the youth of your church, which I think has to be your way of saying you see them as important to you. So Jeremiah says to young people, he says, live firmly, live fully, live faithfully. It's true for young people. It's also true for those who are on the other end of the spectrum. I visited a couple about a week ago, and they're entering the third stage of retirement. Do you know the three stages of retirement? There's the go-go stage, there's the slow-go stage, and there's the no-go stage of retirement. Well, this couple found themselves transitioning into the no-go stage of retirement. Their health was simply taking a major toll in terms of their activity. And I think Jeremiah says something to them. Jeremiah says, live firmly, embrace the circumstances and the situation of where you are right now. Plant yourself in what is, and seek to be at peace there. even with unwanted change. And live fully there as best you can. Even in the no-go stage of life and retirement, there are still ways to live with purpose and with meaning and with connection. The options to live fully may change as we move down life's road. It may need to be redefined, but Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness." And he didn't put an asterisk on that saying, only at this stage or only at that age. And he says to this couple and to all of us, live faithfully. Even if all we can do is make a phone call, write a letter, or pray for another person, that is faithfulness enough. So Jeremiah speaks to the young. He speaks to those of us that are moving down that road of life, and all of those of us in between. And lastly, it seems to me that Jeremiah's message speaks to churches as well. There's a book that's entitled Resident Aliens. You like that title? Resident Aliens. And the point of that book is that we as Christians are the aliens, and sometimes we live in a culture and a society around us that don't share our values or our habits or our faith or our lifestyle. And Jeremiah's message seems to make sense for those of us as a church. Live firmly. Know who you are. Embrace your convictions and your passion. Embrace your values, who you are and whose you are. And be at peace with that. Be grounded and firm in what you believe and what you feel called to do. Don't waver from your foundation. And live fully in that place. Live out the fullness of your fellowship and your study, and your learning, your outreach, and your mission in this town and in the world. Being a smaller church does not mean that you have a lesser fullness to who you are. And live faithfully. Commit yourself to who you are and what you have been called to do in this place. Let your light shine in the world. It's deserving of Christ's love and grace and hope. So here we are, almost 2,500 years removed from Jeremiah's letter. And it still applies to those of us who may find ourselves in some kind of foreign land, be it because of age or health or illness or circumstances. Live firmly in your identity. Live fully in the wholeness of who you are, and live faithfully in the footsteps of the Master. Jeremiah may have been a kind of strange person, but his message was not strange at all. God knows where we are. And God will act redemptively and lovingly in our lives. In the meantime, be present to God as God is present to us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we journey down life's road. And sometimes we're pretty comfortable with where we're at. Sometimes we're not very comfortable at all. But help us to hear Jeremiah speaking to us
to be at peace with the place where we are at, to live firmly in that and fully in that place, and to live faithfully, because that's what it means to be one of your disciples. We pray that you will help us in that endeavor, and we trust that you always have your lives in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.